I don't know whether it's just me as I get older or whether it's true these days, but it does seem to me that there's been a much bigger divide between the Christmas, the secular Christmas, and the sort of scriptural, biblical, religious Christmas. I think when I was a boy, they seemed to sort of merge together somewhat. So there was a bit of secular, there was a bit of church Christmas, religious Christmas, but there does seem to be a definite divide these days between the secular and the sort of religious side to Christmas. So what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to throw up just one slide, so it's quite easy. So I'm having an easy time of it this morning, and it's the word Christmas. If Tally was here, I would have asked her if she could tell me what that big word was, and I got a feeling that she probably would be able to do that. But Christmas, and we're going to just sort of look at, first of all, the secular side of Christmas and what those words, those letters mean to people. And then we'll see the religious side of Christmas and see what those letters should mean to people. Okay? So, got a C. Now, remember that we're thinking about the secular side of Christmas. So, do any of you like to suggest what C could stand for in the secular side of Christmas?
Celebrate.
Well, okay. I hadn't thought of that one, actually. I'll tell you what I thought of. I thought of cards, Christmas cards. People like to give Christmas cards. I got a feeling, I've been hearing, that people don't like to send Christmas cards so much these days because the price of the stamps is so expensive. But there's still a lot of Christmas cards being given. And I was sitting a couple of days ago looking at all the Christmas cards we had, which weren't as many as they normally are, because people are sending emailed cards and newsletters, aren't they? But I did discover, and I guess this may not be, this is a very subjective idea, but possibly because of who I am and because I'm a pastor, people will look at their Christmas card box and think, oh yeah, we'll give in one of the nativity scenes, you know, and things like that. But I also noticed this year that their most cards didn't have anything to do with the Christmas nativity. They were all wonderful scenes of snow or robins or pubs with stagecoaches and stuff like that. But there wasn't that many nativity scenes this time. And so that's one thing, perhaps it demonstrates the way that the world, our society, here is looking at Christmas. Well, H, the only one thing I could think of then, well, somebody might have said holly, but I was thinking of holiday. Holiday. Everybody loves a holiday, don't we? You know, days of holiday, especially if you've been working hard and especially with the pressure of work, you just love the Christmas holiday. You can have some days off, you can relax. But, you know, I find that Christmas can be one of the most stressful days or stressful times of the year. I know people are saying it's the most wonderful time of the year, but for some people it's, and this is where the next letter comes in, rush. It's a great big rush to be ready, isn't it? You're dashing around here, there, and everywhere, and you get almost to the big day. And then you discover there was something you needed to get. And you go off into town and you try to find it because, you know, the perfect day, the perfect Christmas day isn't right unless it's got this thing that you're looking for. On Wednesday, I went to Tesco supermarket in Keynsham. Well, I didn't actually, because I went to the car park and I couldn't park. And they were all queuing up to find spaces. So being male, I decided I can't bother with that. I'm going home. This is what I did. But it just reminded me about how this time of year, everybody's rushing, everybody's getting into places and trying to do things. Now, I wonder if anybody can help me with the next one, next letter, I. Anybody got any suggestions of I?
I want.
Okay, I hadn't thought of that one.
Icicle lights.
Icicle lights. Oh, yeah, there's some nice icicle lights around Keynsham and Salford, I noticed. Well, the one I came up with is icing. Christmas cake icing. Now, I must confess this. I'm not a great lover of icing. It's okay. I like the marzipan. That's what I really love on the Christmas cake. And the people who have their Christmas cakes, you can have a Christmas cake at Christmas, haven't you? It's amazing how much we might spend to get this Christmas cake. And some people will be making their Christmas cakes and perhaps have started in November or October or something like that and got this Christmas cake. And that's important for some people. Well, S is an obvious one, which is?
Snow.
I wasn't thinking of that one. But shopping. Because Christmas is all about presents, isn't it? All the presents you want to get for Uncle Joe, and all you can think of is aftershave or socks. But we all do the shopping. We don't want to miss anybody else out. And, sometimes the shopping can be really, really expensive, can't it? So shopping is another one. Right, T. Right, that's okay. They're all right.
Turkey,
that's the one I was thinking of. Turkey. Now, I saw a TV program at the beginning of the week. Might as well give him a plug. From Jamie Oliver, because he's very much the TV chef, isn't he? And he was telling you about how to make the perfect Christmas dinner, And it seemed to me that the whole point of Christmas Day from Jamie Oliver was this. The turkey. Cooking the turkey. The last scene of this program was he had all his family around the table, and the big, big moment, he came in with the perfectly cooked turkey, which was placed right in the middle of the table. So turkey is very important to people. People will queue up to get the turkey, the fresh turkey. So I hope you've all got your turkey for tomorrow. I remember one year my mother decided she wasn't having turkey, she was going to have goose. One and only time we've ever had goose. And she got the goose, but she didn't realize how much fat came out of the goose. So she put it in the oven, she left it for the same amount of time she did the turkey. And when she opened the oven, the oven was covered with goose fat. And it took her days and days to get rid of the goose fat. And it wasn't very nice, actually. I preferred the turkey, which was a bit of a shame. M stands for? Mince pies. Yeah, we'll get to the manger next time, in the next one, okay? Mince pies. So, how many mince pies have you had? Have you put any weight on yet? I think I had my first mince pie by the middle of November. And it's been going steady ever since. When you go to visit somebody, have a mince pie. And Mr. Kipling does make exceedingly good mince pies, but I prefer the homemade ones. So there we are, mince pies. Now, A. Anybody got a suggestion for A? Well, that's too biblical for me, for this section. Oh, you mean the ones with all the chocolates in, you mean? Right, and worse. Okay. I'll tell you what my A was. Aches. The aches and pains. Because after the Christmas day, when you've been up too early, you've gone to bed too late, you've been doing all this sort of activity at Christmas, you wake up on Boxing Day, you don't want to get out of bed, your back's aching, your legs are aching, your head's aching. Well, that's what Christmas sometimes means to me sometimes. Okay, the final S. Well, yes, yeah, Santa, good. Well done. Sleep. Because I find that by Boxing, Christmas Day evening, when I'm going to bed, I'm absolutely dead, usually. And I just want to sleep. Boxing Day is sleep day. Except it doesn't seem to be like that. Of course, Because the big thing that for a lot of people is snow, isn't it? I don't know how many, you get these Christmas specials, you know, from various programs, you know, like All Creatures Great and Small, for throw that one in, for Susan, coming from Yorkshire. But there are other ones, you even get EastEnders and places like that, or Casualty. And what happens? You get to Christmas Eve, you've had the drama of all, you know, and then they get out about 11:30 at night, don't they? And it's snowing! So it must be Christmas. And snow seems to be a big thing. Everybody's wanting a bit of snow. Well, I suppose snow at Christmas is quite nice, as long as it's not there on Boxing Day, as far as I'm concerned. So that's secular. That's a secular Christmas that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people sort of want, don't they? The food, the presents, the snow, the holiday, the sort of feel-good, sort of Christmassy sort of feeling, isn't it? So let's change that now and begin to look at what is the true meaning of Christmas. So I'm going to need your help this time, where we go through those letters of the word Christmas once more. So what would C stand for? Christ the child, the Christ child, I think. Don't you think Christ? Let's put him first. He should be first. So Christ. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 12, you've read it already this morning, but it says there, and this is the voice of the angels speaking and speaking to the shepherds, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So Christmas should be about Christ. But it seems so often, I think, that Christ is forgotten about. Or if he's sort of, well, he's put to one side a bit. Perhaps Santa has become the big person rather than Christ, which is a shame, isn't it? So when we think of a proper meaning of Christmas, we come to H. Sorry? Holy. Well, that's nice. How about heaven? That's a nice word, isn't it? Heaven. Because Christ came on earth to be a baby, to be a man, to die on a cross, so that we could go to heaven. And there in that reading that we read, Luke chapter 2, because most of the verses I'm going to mention are coming from that reading from Luke chapter 2, but verse 13, we see heaven has broken out of, if you like, out of heaven. I don't know if you can break out of heaven, but anyway, heaven is revealed with the angelic choir. I don't know how many there were, but if you read the book of Revelation, we talk about myriad upon myriad upon myriad. Maybe this was the smaller version of the choir. They arrive on earth, and they sing, don't they, to the shepherds. They can't contain themselves. This is what I think about the angels here, is that they're so full of amazement. They're so overcome by what has happened. The God, the Son, has come down upon earth, and there he is. He's a baby in a manger, and they can't contain themselves, and they're singing, don't they? Glory to God in the highest. This way of salvation. Perhaps they'd been waiting thousands of years to see how God was going to get sinful human beings to become, to live with him in eternity in heaven. And they're singing about it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What about R? Well done. I hope nobody's going to say reindeer. Redeemer. Redeemer. And redeemer means one who has paid for all our sins. We could also think of it in terms of a rescuer. He's rescued us. Do you remember the angel in a dream that Joseph had in Matthew chapter 1? Spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save his people. That's what the Redeemer is doing. He's saving us from all our sins. He has opened heaven to us. Well, I is probably a very obvious one now. And you want to say what I is? Emmanuel. Yes. Again, that's what the angel said was going to be the title of the baby that was born in a manger. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, the amazing thing of Christmas really ought to be the fact that God the Son has left the thrones of glory and have come down to be a human being. He took on human flesh. That's the most amazing thing. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. What about S? Sorry? Savior. Right, okay, we'll get the Savior at the end, okay? We'll have that as the last S, okay? A star, right, great. Yes, a star, the wise men and all that. Shepherds. When you think about shepherds, well, I always think it like this. When I was working as a pastor in Bala, in North Wales, there were some very rich shepherds around. They'd come into town with their almost brand new Land Rovers, and they obviously had quite a bit of money. Maybe they don't have so much money these days, but they did then. But the shepherds that we can think of there on the hillside of Judea, they were the poorest of the poor. They were the people that nobody else wanted in town. So they spent months and months and months on the hillside. And I always think it must have been amazing for them. They probably were on the hillside in Judea. It's Christmas Eve, and they're thinking, well, this is just an ordinary night, isn't it? You know, we do the same old boring things, tell the same old boring jokes, same old stories. And then suddenly, can you imagine it? Because these are people who haven't had an education. They haven't got lots of money, they haven't got careers, they're probably very poor and poorly educated people. And then suddenly an angel appears to them. And you would think probably, well, why doesn't the angel appear to somebody important? Why not to Herod or the mayor of Bethlehem? But he doesn't. He appears to the poorest of the poor, the shepherds, the ones on the hillside. And we read of that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? I think if an angel suddenly appeared here, we'd be greatly afraid as well, wouldn't we? And we can understand that. Well, we come to T. What's the what would you suggest for T? How about tidings? That's a good word, isn't it? Find that in the passage, because that's what the angel said. This frightening angel, he tells them, not to be afraid, verse 10 and 11. He says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Great news. In fact, the good news of the gospel. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Well, M.
Messiah.
Right. How about manger? Okay. I was thinking, but manger, you know, you see it sometimes in nativity plays. You've got this nice, clean manger with tinsel and all this sort of stuff, and perhaps some Christmas. But it wasn't like that, was it? It was a feeding trough. Some of the more modern translations talk about a feeding trough. So it gives you the idea of the terrible conditions which Mary gave birth to her baby, Jesus, and where Jesus was first laid. You know, we talked about this a few days ago, didn't we, about the smell that must have been in a stable. There's a stable cave, probably, and the smell that must have been in the stable from the animals. And it certainly wasn't sterile hospital conditions when Jesus was born, was it? But you know, there's another M I wanted to mention, and that is monarch. Because monarch is another word for king. And the one who's born in the animal feeding trough is actually the king of the universe, the king of kings and the lord of lords. And of course, the marvel is he's not born in a palace. He's not born in some cradle with a velvet lining. He's born in a feeding trough for animals. But yet he's the king. And he's going to come as the king, isn't he? He's going to come as the king of kings. Right, let's move on to A. Angels. There's got to be angels, isn't it? The angels singing. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 13. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Wow!" I also think, well, they wouldn't have been saying, not really. They would have been singing, surely, or shouting as loud as possible. Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we come to the last one, which Hope has already told us, but that's great because that's the most important point. He has come as the Savior. The Savior, Savior of the world has come, says the old hymn, doesn't it? Jesus coming on earth. He's the long-awaited Messiah. The one that was mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the seed of the woman, the one that Moses spoke of as the one coming after him who would speak the words of God, the one that David spoke of, and the promise that David had that from his line would come, from the line of David, the Messiah. Jesus is from the line of David, isn't he? He's come to put right all that was lost in Adam. He's come to put right all the sins and rebellions and trespasses and all the things that we do so wrong. He put it all right when he went to the cross and died that death as a sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. That's Jesus, the Savior. See, the trouble is that people so often, perhaps now in this part of the world at least, I'm sure it's not true of everywhere, but in this part of the world, we've forgotten about Jesus and we've forgotten why he came. Instead, people are thinking about, even the grown-ups, Santa and reindeer and presents and Christmas dinner. And really, we should be thinking about God sending his son, Jesus. Sending him to be a baby born in an animal trough in Bethlehem. To grow up to be the man who went to the cross and died in our place, paying the price for our sins so that we could have heaven. And we could be the very people of God who would share eternity with Jesus and with the Father. Well, I trust and pray that that is true for your faith this morning, that you believe in Jesus and you are rejoicing in the fact that Jesus has come. And I say to you, we should be rejoicing in the fact that he is going to come again. And he's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we want to add our praise and our worship to that of the angels in the day when they sung to the shepherds on that hillside, and to express our awe and amazement that you should love us so much that you gave us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the substitute, to die in our place. And Father, we have to confess before you that it's not that we first loved you, but that you loved us and gave your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And for that, Lord, we give you grateful thanks. For that, Lord, we praise you and rejoice in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we just ask and pray, Lord, this Christmas day that we will be having tomorrow will be a day, Lord, when we will perhaps take time aside from the Christmas the world has to think about the Christmas that we should be having in thinking about Jesus. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.